Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've been on now. This is very close to the end of my third week, talking about how to find God's will. And I have a brand new teaching out on this. I had an old teaching set that had three teachings in it entitled How to Find God's Will. I've expanded this, and we now have a brand new five-part teaching on how to find God's will. That's what I've been ministering on. We're now into the fifth and final teaching in that. And then after I get through with this teaching on how to find God's will, I'm going to do another five-part series on how to follow God's will, and then another five-part series on how to fulfill God's will. So I've taken this teaching, the little kernel of truth I taught about how to find God's will, and I've just expanded it dramatically. And I think that this is going to make a big impact, a big difference in your life. I've said this many times before, but you cannot fulfill God's will accidentally. You have to get a revelation of what God created you for. And there's varying aspects of that. He created all of us for fellowship with Him. That's our number one purpose in life. But then God also has a calling and a will for you to accomplish. And you have to receive that by revelation, and then you have to pursue it. It doesn't come to pass automatically. I've used the scriptures out of Romans 12, 1 and 2. In the last part of Romans 12, 2, says that if you will do these things that he had talked about, becoming a living sacrifice and then renewing your mind through the Word of God, you will prove to make manifest to the physical senses what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, there's steps and stages in it. It doesn't just happen all at once. It's a lifetime of pursuing God, and God leads you step by step by step. And so this is what we've been talking about. What I want to do today is just begin to start amplifying on the point that I was making yesterday and last week, and that is that you have to, first of all, be a living sacrifice. The second step is about renewing your mind, and that happens through the Word of God. The Word of God is how He reveals Himself to us. It's how He transforms us. And I used this on yesterday's program, that Greek word, transformed, in Romans 12, 2, is the Greek word metamorpho. It's the word we get metamorphosis from, to where you change from a caterpillar or a worm into a beautiful butterfly. If you want to change from someone that's just, you know, conformed to the image of this world, you're sick like everybody else, you're poor like everybody else, you're defeated, you're discouraged, you're up and you're down, you get angry, you can't control yourself, circumstances are controlling you. If you want to change from living that kind of life to where you are living an abundant life, where you are in control, and that you don't have to sit there and just patiently let the devil beat you up, but you can fight back and you can change your situation. That's what transformation is. If you want to be transformed, you do it by the renewing of your mind. Man, that is so powerful. You know, I started this series with the scripture out of Joshua chapter 1. And let me just go back and re-emphasize this again. But in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord was telling him how he was going to fulfill God's will for his life. You got to remember, Joshua, it was big shoes to fill. He was filling in for Moses. How do you take over for Moses? How do you become Moses' replacement? And he gave him all of these promises, and here's one of them in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law, which the book of the law at that time was the first five books that we now have, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, called the Pentateuch. Moses wrote those, and that's what he was talking about specifically. But for us, this isn't limited to just the Pentateuch or the first five books of the law. It's referring to the entire Word of God. All of the Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction, etc. And so this isn't limited to just the law. You could say that this Bible, these Scriptures, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, when you have meditated in them day and night, when you've spoken the word, when you are following it and obeying the instruction, then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. You know, everybody wants the end result of this verse. Everybody wants to be prosperous. Everybody wants to have good success. But not everybody is willing to commit themselves to the Word of God and meditate in it day and night. Not let it depart out of your mouth, away from your eyes, away from your hearing. Instead, we allow the filth and the trash of this world. We listen to the bad news. We watch movies that are against all of the values that we stand for and that the Word of God stands for. And we just come and go every once in a while in the things of God. But this is saying that if this book of the law, the Word of God, if you would meditate in it day and night, all of the time, you would take every word that comes your way, whether it's through television, books, magazines, friends, business associates, anything, everything in your life has to stack up and be judged by the Word of God. And if it's contrary to the Word of God, then you turn it off. You quit listening to it. You say no to it. You let God's Word dominate you. Then the promise is that you will have good success and you will make your way prosperous. That's what the Word promises. It's really this simple. If you are committed to God and if you've been born again and then have made an absolute total commitment that you give your life over to the Lord, and then if you renew your mind by the Word of God so that you're meditating in it day and night and it's dominating you and controlling you, you will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. You will be transformed. You will prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. This is so simple. You got to have somebody to help you to misunderstand it. And yet it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing how people miss how simple this is. And you know, let me just say that our culture today is not conducive to what I've just described. Our culture today, even our religious culture, is not putting this kind of emphasis on being totally committed to God and renewing your mind. You know, I've often said this, that there wouldn't even be a need for a Bible college as we have it today, our Charis Bible colleges, if the churches were doing what God called them to do. But most churches have reduced their ministry down to 1 hour a week or maybe 2 hours a week, and then they might have something like a little home fellowship. But in the early church, they met daily, and they were seeking the Lord, and they were studying the Scriptures, and they were committed to God. And you know what? The average church today doesn't even have that as a goal, much less accomplishing the goal. And so because of it, we are just being inundated, overwhelmed with all of this influence of the world. And so because of that, you know what? For a lot of people, coming to a Bible college is the way that they get into the Word and they start meditating in it and they get their mind renewed. You know, I had somebody add this up and they said that there's something like 20 to 22 years worth of church attendance crammed into 2 years' time when you come to our Charis Bible College. That's quite a comparison. And you know what it does? It's exactly like what these scriptures I've been saying are talking about. It changes you. You come in one way and you leave another way because the Word of God changes you. You know, there's a girl that's, she's a woman. She's a good friend of mine. She's quite a few years younger than me. But I remember I went to Charlotte, North Carolina every year. I've been going there for 22 years to Freedom Christian Center with Pastor Dean Melton. And this young lady, Nicola, came from Winston-Salem. Her and her mother brought a bunch of people and they always came over. And Nicola was just a wonderful person. But you know what? She was prospering. She had a job, I think, as a legal assistant. I'm not sure about all of that. But anyway, she was prospering and she was doing okay. But every time she came, it was just like, God's got something more for me. I don't know what it is. She was trying to find God's will. And every time she came, we would talk to her and say, Nicola, have you ever thought of coming to Bible college? And she says, I really want to. But how could I leave my mother? How could I leave this job? How could these things work out? What about the finances? And every year I'd go back in September and we'd have this same discussion. And finally, one year I had Linus Lefevre. He was the director of the Bible College with me, and we started talking to Nicola, and she was talking again. And Linus says, are we going to have this discussion again next year? Are you going to do what God has led you to do or not? And anyway, long story short, Nicola left her good paying job, left her family, left her friends, left everything that was secure in her life, came out to Caris Bible College. And did you know when she did, we saw her just like a flower or something that opened up and bloomed right in front of our eyes. I mean, she changed. And she was a wonderful woman before, but she gained a confidence, a security. When she went on a missions trip, she found out that missions isn't just standing behind a pulpit. You know, to this day, Nicola is not a preacher in the sense that I am, that she stands behind pulpits. She does that some. But mainly, she just goes out and loves people, ministers to the orphans, and does things. And it's changed her life. As a matter of fact, she's one of our stories on this Destiny Stories. And I just want to play her testimony for you and give you an illustration of a person who put God's Word first and how she renewed her mind and it changed her. Watch this. And then we'll give you information at the end of this program how you can get this teaching on how to find God's will and also this teaching about Destiny Stories that will have her testimony.
Even though I was in my church and I was doing good things, I was singing in the choir, I was going and visiting people in the hospital and praying with people at the altars, that was all good, but I knew that God had something more for me. My mom heard Andrew on the radio in the late 80s, and when she heard him, she said, "This is truth. I know this is truth." And so she heard that he was coming down to Charlotte, North Carolina, to Freedom Christian Center, and he had a tent meeting there every year. And so she started going to the tent meeting, and I would go with her. One year, Andrew told us that he was thinking about starting a school. And as soon as I heard him talk about a school, I just got this real excitement in me that, you know, this was really something I'd like to go to. But there's no way. I was a secretary. I'd been secretary in a law firm for years and didn't make much money. I was supporting myself and supporting my mom and just couldn't afford to pick up and go to Colorado. 2 years later, back at the tent meeting, Andrew came and he talked about the school and I got excited again. After the meeting, I went and I talked to Linus and Linus said, "Well, what's stopping you from coming to school?" And I said, "Well, finances." He said, "Okay, well, you know, just pray about it." And so I was like, "Okay." 2 years later, Andrew came back and he talked about the school and Linus was there again, and I went and talked with Linus afterwards, and he said, "Well, what's stopping you from coming to the school?" And I said, "Finances." And he said, "Are we going to have the same conversation next year?" And I thought about it, and I was like, "Yes, honestly, we're going to have the same conversation next year." And he said, "You need to go and really pray about this, because if God's calling you to do this, he'll make a way for you." And so I took the next day off work, and I prayed about it, and God really made it clear to me that this was the next step for me, was to come to CBC. And so then it was a matter of telling my mom. We were going down to the meeting that night, the last meeting, and I told Mom, "I'm going to go to Colorado." And there was this big silence, and then she said, "You know," and then she told me word for word what God had spoken to me when I had prayed about it. I had my family and my friends in North Carolina. I didn't know anybody in Colorado other than Andrew. I didn't have a job to go to. I didn't have a place to live. But I just knew that God was calling me to go here. I was at work one day and I was looking out the window waiting for the elevator, and God spoke to my heart and he said, "Nicola, don't be afraid of the unknown." Coming to CBC was a real faith test for me. It was a real trusting God thing. You know, I don't know anybody, I don't have a job. And I came here, and God was so faithful to me. He provided for me. He provided for my mom. He took care of her every single month, which was just a miracle. It was a total, absolute miracle. God came up with a lot of money out of nowhere every single month. One of the classes that really changed my life here was Linus taught a class on vision, and I hated that class. I just never have been a real visionary, and so when we had to take this class on vision, I thought, oh, this is just not fun for me. Linus came in and he said, okay, everybody take out a blank piece of paper and write your vision on this piece of paper. And I just remember looking at this paper and thinking, I don't have a vision. So I just wrote my name at the top of the paper and turned it in. And the next class, he said, everybody get out a blank piece of paper and write your vision. And I turned in another blank piece of paper. And then he said, you know, if you don't have a vision, just think about what God wants from us. What does he say in his word? And I couldn't think of anything much. And then I thought, well, God is love. So I put love. Eventually, I got to love people. And really, that was the class that just totally changed my life. I always had a feeling in the back of my mind that I would end up living in another country. I just never imagined it would be Russia. When God called me to Russia, I wasn't really excited about it at first. I didn't really want to go. More my idea of being overseas when I was a child was being in England. I wasn't really excited about the idea of being in Russia, where it's cold and it's not exactly the cleanest place in the world. And it's also not the most convenient place in the world. God had called me to go to Russia. I knew I was going. I had actually bought my ticket, and just like everything went wrong. Russia stopped issuing visas, and you can't go without a visa. The furnace broke. I didn't have money for a furnace, and I didn't have a job because I was planning on being in Russia. I was starting to panic. I knew I needed about $3,000 for a furnace. I needed living expenses for the extra month I was going to be in America, and I needed startup expenses for when I was going to be in Russia, and that was a lot of money. And I was a secretary. And then I remembered Andrew's teaching on how to be a water walker.
And this is an awesome truth. One word from Jesus is enough to overcome whatever circumstance, whatever storm, whatever problem is trying to destroy you. One word. And the good news is we have lots of words in the Bible. But one of those words quickened to you, made to come alive, is enough to overcome your circumstances. Boy, that's powerful.
I was listening to it on a Walkman, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start acting in faith, like I'm really going. Even though I have no idea when I'm going to go, I have no idea where all this money is going to come from. I can't leave and go to Russia and leave Mom in the cold house with no furnace. But I'm just not going to worry about that. And I was just acting in faith the best I knew how. I started packing, even though I knew it was going to be at least a month until I got to leave. I started just spending time with him, and I just took 2 or 3 days off. And I said, okay, I'm just going to spend time with you, Lord, and it's just going to be me and you, and I'm not going to panic anymore. I'm done panicking. In the middle of my second day of not panicking, the phone rang. And it was the law firm. And long story short, they hired me for more money than I had ever been paid before. And through that, the Lord provided for me. And I really believe that it was from listening to Andrew's teaching that got me focused back on God and not worried about all my problems around me. And just to get out there and step out in faith. I had just finished reading in Hebrews, and so I went on to James, and I was reading in James 1, and I read down, and I got to verse 27, where it says, this is true religion, to visit the orphans and the widows in their distress. A friend of mine called me, and she said, Nicola, I've been praying for you for 2 weeks, and orphanages keeps coming to my mind. Russia is a land where there's a lot of people who just have no hope, and they drown themselves in alcohol. And unfortunately, that's the life that a lot of these orphans end up with. The statistics for the orphanage is 40% of them become alcoholics and drug addicts. And then 40% of them become criminals. 10% of them end up committing suicide. The final 10% live. It's not like a great life, but they survive. And out of that 10%, there are 2% who go on to get an education or they get a job, and they live a good life. And out of that 2% of the final 10%, they all of them have had someone in their life who's come alongside them to help them. I wasn't ready to make a commitment until I really knew that this was God, because I know that when you get into a ministry, sometimes things get hard, and when they get hard, I didn't want to have something based on emotion. But I never could see myself being a missionary, because to me, a missionary is somebody who really likes to be out there, you know, who likes to stand on the stage and have the million people out in the congregation and preaching to the masses, and that is so totally not me. I prefer to be behind the scenes, and I'm more of a quiet person that I enjoy one-on-one, and I just never imagined that, you know, that could be me. And so I sort of wrote it off. I can't be a missionary because I don't like being on stage in front of people. And just through coming to CBC and going on the missions trip, I saw that missions isn't only being out there in the public eye, it's also being back there behind the scenes. But I'm telling you, whatever God's called you to do, that's where your heart will be. And He called me to Russia, and I love it.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Find God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes 3 albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting 4 stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD titled Knowing God's Word free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Durant, Oklahoma next week, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 12th through the 14th. He'll also be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
There's much more than just classroom activity at Charis Bible College. Students participate in hands-on ministry, like working on the ministry helpline.
I'm a first-year student at CBC, and I work in the phone center full-time.
I'm a second-year student at CBC, and I work full-time in the phone ministry.
90% of the volunteers in the phone center are Charis Bible College students.
Thank you for calling Andrew Womack Ministries.
80% of the employees are CBC graduates.
I'm a graduate of CBC last year in 2009, and I've been working in the phone center for 2 years.
The ministry and the college are working hand in hand to deliver the gospel truth every day.
We're changing lives and we're changing the world one life at a time.